Now, if you were watching the news probably any time in the last 24 hours, there's a piece of vision that you would have seen that was truly remarkable. We hear about stories of people being lucky and lucky to be alive for incidents that have happened and thinking, I really should buy a lottery ticket today because I'm lucky. Well, this chap in Los Angeles is the epitome of that because he was in a light aircraft, piloting a light aircraft that had engine failure on takeoff. So he immediately had to land his plane, which he did. He found a bit of tarmac on the roads of Los Angeles to land his plane. He landed the plane and survived the crash landing.
Mm.
However, he landed right on train tracks. And there was a huge train bearing down on him on the crash plane, and he was saved by the heroic LAPD. That's the train hitting the plane as the seconds before. It's great footage from their body cams. They're pulling him out of the plane. He's bloodied and bruised, but he's okay. I mean, in two huge events, your plane crashes and you're almost hit by a train and you survive them both.
I mean, it was Final Destination stuff.
Oh, without a doubt.
It was really scary to watch. But that feeling when you feel that close, like if you've actually had a moment, I think there's been a few moments where I might have been driving a car and thought, oh, that was close.
Yes.
But I mean the proper moments, those ones are like where you go, God, I don't think I should be alive.
No, that his number seemed like it must have been up, but it clearly wasn't. It was extraordinary.
So these stories are few and far between. Mm. Right? So we're talking about the I shouldn't be alive. This is why this is a we got one. I mean, usually we reserve this for the, we don't think we're going to get these, right?
No. Yeah.
Now, in this instance, we want the stuff where you really felt like your number was up.
Yes.
Like it was meant to be up. Like this is a story that you carry on through the ages telling people about the fact that you crashed your plane onto a train track and then 3 seconds later were dragged out by cops as the train came through and busted everything up.
Let me tell you if this fits the bill. My grandfather came to Australia in 1921. He got a job riding the fences of these big properties in New South Wales. He'd never been to Australia. He was then put on a horse with a dog and rode these fences and was away for a week at a time, usually not seeing anyone else. His horse threw him off and he was impaled on a dead tree.
Oh,
right. Yeah. And someone came along.
Oh, that's what we thought.
For the first time ever, he saw someone and he was in like hospital for 6 months.
We got one!
We've got Lynn in Yanjibup. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. Great, Lynn. When was it nearly up? What happened?
Well, it was nearly up when my newlywed husband just got his pilot's license and decided to take me as a first passenger up for a flight.
Oh, God.
And so we were coming into land, and this was at the Jandakot Airport, and it was about just before 6 o'clock, and apparently the tower had decided to knock off a minute early, and there were two planes that were flying into land, and we were unaware that they were in formation. So we waited for the first plane to land. They were little ultralights from Canberra. And so the first plane had landed, and the second plane apparently was under our belly. And so we were coming into land, and us being unaware, we came into land, and then we had a mid-air collision with him. So we smashed into him, and then we both came down to land together.
Oh.
And it was just horrific. And my husband was like, I'm screaming, like, as you do, because I couldn't believe what was happening. Everything just went crazy, and he's just grabbed me. He said, shut up. He said, stay still, and grabbed me. And, we all came down together, but these ultralights had this propeller that propels you out of the plane, and apparently our rotor had pulled this rotary thing, and one more turn of our plane would have ejected and would have blown us all up.
Oh,
so we were just so lucky. We all walked away with not a scratch on us.
Really?
It was just amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
So you landed as two aircraft at the same time, essentially. You crash landed together.
Correct. On the tarmac.
Wow. And after 4 weeks of marriage too, you're thinking this is, you're all in the honeymoon. So this is fantastic. I mean, once your partner's nearly killed you, I'm sure it changes the game.
Well, it wasn't the first time. He crashed me on his motorbike too at one point. And I thought, this man's trying to kill me.
Yes. Wow. All right. Well done.
Thanks, Lynn.
Far out. We got one. It looks like we've got many.
We've got a few more, that's for sure. Adam in Yokine, what happened with your son?
Morning, guys. Yeah, so just thinking about it, it's actually about 10 years ago, coming up to almost exactly 10 years ago to the day, we were living in a two-story townhouse, and I had the cricket on downstairs. They were up in their rooms. The eldest was six, and his brother was just turned two. And as they were playing, he got up on the, sat on the windowsill, the bed was near it. And next thing I heard just this almighty bang, this crash. I thought, well, what was that? So I've raced upstairs in Usain Bolt's pace. said, where's your brother? I looked out, and his younger brother had pushed him out of a two-story window. Oh. He'd fallen down. Yeah, pushed him out. They were just playing, but he bounced off a bike and onto the concrete below.
So the bike broke his fall?
He broke the bike, but it's off the bike, and there was a couple of boxes down there which were full of old household, like kitchen utensils and stuff. So
hang on a minute, it's sounding like a Hollywood film now. The cardboard boxes happen to be there to break.
Oh, Adam, that's terrifying. Wow. Do you think they knew what was going on? I mean, they're very young.
I'm not sure. They were playing in their rooms. There was Lego and everything. I'm not sure how the game got up onto a bed, then onto the windowsill, but it did. raced down, and he walked away with he bit himself on his tongue, a couple of scratches, a couple of bruises. Went to the hospital, stayed overnight, but no structural damage, no broken bones, absolutely nothing, just the scratches.
Oh, to be young and supple again.
Oh, Adam,
I'm so glad that worked out okay. Far out.
We got Brooke in Osborne Park. Tell us your I shouldn't be alive story, mate.
Hey, so my story is actually about my older sister, not myself.
Yeah.
She was 18 months old, and she basically, they were helping some family friends out doing some like landscaping. My mum was making lunch in the kitchen around the other side and just watching my sister playing outside. She looked away for a second, then looked back, and my sister was gone.
Oh.
So she went outside and had a look and went around to the pool, which was at the absolute other side of the house. And she said all she can recall was seeing like a white sheet at the bottom of the pool.
Oh,
and so my sister had gone around at 18 months old and threw the ball into the pool and ended up in the pool.
Oh.
So they had ended up, my mum went nuts, obviously, and they jumped in and grabbed her. Brought her back with CPR, and she was flown with the helicopter to ICU.
Yeah.
Was in there for a couple of weeks, but she's absolutely fine. And funny enough, she actually teaches kids to swim now.
Really?
Yeah. So she teaches kids from 6 weeks old all the way up to adults, and she teaches them how to swim now. And yeah, she's absolutely fine, even though she was clinically dead for about 7 minutes, they reckon. Oh,
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy, eh? Crazy.
Oh, God. Our hearts go out to those parents who suffer that. That is just dreadful.
Horrific.
Kurt in Avely. All right, mate.
How would you?
Howdy. Tell us, what happened with this chainsaw?
Look, it was about mid-90s. At the time, I was living over in Tassie, and common practice to go out the bush, cut a bit of wood for the fire.
Yep.
So I'm out in the bush cutting into this log and hit, like a fencing nail or something, it was in the log. The chainsaw spat back out of the log, smacked me straight up the left-hand side of the face, and cut from the left corner of my mouth to just above the middle of my left eyebrow, straight through, severed the eyelid in half, and never even scratched the eyeball.
Oh, Kurt.
You are joking.
Ended up going into the Royal Hobart Hospital, and as it turned out, there was some sort of seminar conference on, and all the best doctors in their field were at the Royal at that particular time. And of course, when they heard what had happened, they all come down. So I had to look like the best medical care you could think of.
Come here, Kurt. I've got me Husqvarna. Let's sew you up.
Exactly.
Wow.
Kurt, were you pretty scarred up? I mean, you've taken a chainsaw to the face.
Oh, yes, yeah, for years. I mean, now it's quite faded, but you can still see it when you, if you look. But for years, had a very bright scar from, as I say, pretty much completely down the left side of my face. So, but wow. Yeah, it's you can still see a little bit of the eyebrow, but several hundred stitches, microsurgery, and all sorts of things.
Would have taken the wind out of you, that's for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for your call this morning, mate. Cheers.
No problem. Cheers.
Now, guys, I don't know about you. I don't stay in hotels very often. It's sort of like if I stay in a hotel, it's usually a special occasion or for some particular reason. For most other reasons, I would just find my own way home. You know, like, because some people go, oh, well, are we going to an event in the city? Let's get a hotel. And I'm like, no, that's not me.
I can't justify the price for a night.
No, I just jump in a mover and I go home and I'm done.
Right.
But so it's an occasion. And a friend of mine, same experience. He's like, he doesn't stay at hotels all that often, but he was doing a night out for his birthday and he was like, let's make it a big thing.
Sure.
So he booked himself this hotel room and was really looking forward to it. So he rocks up to the hotel and, you know, checks all his stuff in, goes into his room, relaxes for a bit, and then he has a couple of friends come over for drinks before they head out for the night.
Yeah.
And when his friends rock up for drinks, he realizes, oh, hang on, there's no glassware and there's no crockery in here. Like, there's no cutlery, plates, glasses of any kind. So he's like, I can't serve drinks. We can't do anything. So he's like, oh, there must have been some sort of mistake. There's all the cupboards there for it, but nothing there. So he calls down to reception and says to the receptionist, there seems to be some sort of mistake. There's no glassware or crockery in my room. And she said, it's in the dishwasher.
With that tone?
As if it was expected that that's where you get your dishes from.
Okay. As in the dishwasher that's in the room?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's in the dishwasher. Yeah. As if he was supposed to know that. Now, is that a thing? I mean, when I go to a hotel, I expect that the thing is set up for my night out. I'm not thinking I have to unload the dishwasher.
Finish the cycle.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you there.
That's not my job, right?
No. The room isn't ready unless the dishes aren't put in the,
I thought the same. I was like, could you imagine if you called, you're like, oh, excuse me, there doesn't seem to be any sheets. Oh, well, they're in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Now, Get your stuff out of the cupboard.
I haven't stayed in many hotels, but what kind of hotel room has a dishwasher though? So that's my first thought, because I've never been to a hotel where there's a dishwasher in the hotel room.
Well, sometimes if it, like a service department, you know, would have that.
Yeah, maybe
kind
a kitchenette.
Yeah, a kitchenette.
So he's got a service department.
I mean, at least you know the dishes are clean. Because often, you know, you might go, gee, that's a bit dusty.
I always wash my own dishes in there anyway, if I'm honest. Because sometimes, and I was talking about this just before we came in, had a chat to producer Jeans out there.
Yeah.
She said, she's been to a place where they said, yeah, you've got to wash your own dishes, dry them and put them away before you leave, or they charge you a fee.
Yes.
But I said, if I was the next guest, there's no way I'm trusting the person who washed the dishes before they checked out.
Do you wash, if you go to an apartment or something like that, or you go like a holiday house or something, you know, do you wash all the stuff first? Do you clean things down before you get started?
I don't clean everything, but if I was going to get a glass out, I would. Because the person who went in before you, I mean, have you seen how other people wash dishes?
You might as well just stay at home, really.
You're checking out.
You're just going out. You're travelling down south so you can do domestics.
It's in the dishwasher?
Yeah, idiot.
It's time for Mix 94.5's Conundrum.
Quite the conundrum.
Now, let's just go over what happened yesterday, please.
I don't even remember the context in which it came up.
Mate, I think you just threw it at me. It was day one. Day one of the year. Not even warm, Kimber. Not even warm. And you had me in the fetal position by 7:30 with what you told me off the air.
I think we were talking about something. Something came up and I said, I don't know, it's just one of those questions you don't really know the answer to.
Sure.
And then I threw this one at you.
All right.
Going, do you have an answer for this? Because I don't have an answer yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question I posed was, if you were to start eating yourself,
okay,
would you double in size or completely disappear? So we're obviously assuming that this is a bloodless situation.
I thought you were a vegetarian.
All right.
It's that plant-based meat?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Can't call it meat anymore. It upsets people.
Oh, that's right.
This is like the sound of one hand clapping. It's like one of those things that it's so big that it maybe even makes you zen or panics you, as it has done in Pete's case.
Well, because we started talking it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
you start eating yourself.
Well, you assume you start with limbs. Mm. You'd go with your legs and your arms first.
Okay.
And let's just assume that you get that nice seal. Like there's no, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's done in a surgical way.
Yeah, it's nice.
You're alive.
In a way where, like, you are, say, in some weird sort of way, you are able to completely eat yourself without dropping off the perch.
Right? Yeah.
So, would you double in size or would you completely disappear? Now, my thoughts are, and I was thinking about this all bloody day yesterday. My thoughts are you would remain the same.
Sit on the fence, Corelli.
Hang on.
Oh, you disappear. Of course you disappear.
I mean, you disappear because it's got to go somewhere, doesn't it?
I mean, if you ate a leg.
If
you ate your leg. Yeah, see, I mean, at the very least, you might just turn into a pile of poo. Because if you ate your own leg, you still got to go through your gastro tract and through. So, like, it's still in your stomach. So, you haven't disappeared. You would have put on some weight from eating your own leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same when you go the next leg. Same when you go the next two arms.
So you'd just be left basically as a colon.
Yeah, I mean...
And, you know, you're Italian. You love that stuff.
Don't be racist.
I mean, obviously it's hypothetical, so it's very hard to answer.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was real.
It's very hard to answer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll get started.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to leave you freaking out over it. Why don't you ask people? Ask
13, 10, 60. If you were to start eating yourself and you got all the way through... Would you double in size or would you be nothing?
Just completely disappear.
Because I just don't think you can completely disappear. But I also don't think you would double in size because there's not enough of you to double in size because you are turning over what you're eating, which is yourself.
The question would be more interesting for me if we were talking about an animal that can grow back limbs.
Like a lizard growing
something
back its
like
tail.
That. Then I would start going, now, okay, here we go. Because obviously, you know, we can't do that.
Well,
no,
we're not talking.
But then
about that.
There's no option for them to completely disappear because they're constantly making new limbs.
That's true.
We've got Tyrell. Good morning, Tyrell.
Good morning.
Oh, Tyrell, how old are you?
I am 14 years old.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Are you used to waking up with these kind of ridiculous questions?
Yeah, I listen to you guys all the time.
You're a good man. You're smart. Legend. That's why we came to you, Tyrell. So have you got an opinion on this little conundrum?
I do. I think that, you know how, like, axolotls and geckos, how they, like, grow their tails back or their arms?
Yes.
Well, humans don't have that genetics to do that. So
yes.
I reckon if you just kept eating yourself, you'd just disappear. So it's...
I mean, it makes
like
sense.
Like, you can't...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get it, because if you eat your legs, suddenly your leg's gone. You're a little bit smaller than you were moments ago.
But it's got to go somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't just completely disappear. It has to go somewhere.
But Tyrell, you might be with the argument too that if you eat your leg and you digest it and it leaves your body, then it's gone, right?
Yeah, it's gone. That makes sense, yes.
It makes sense to me too, brother.
I think it's good rationale.
Yeah. All right.
I think Tyrell's onto something. Thanks for listening, mate.
Thank you very much, Tyrell. Nice to hear from you this morning, mate. Gary's in Kwinana. What are your thoughts, man?
Right, if this was ever actually possible.
You're saying it's not? Really,
you know, in someone's mind it might be. I think you wouldn't change, because if you ate your leg and your leg weighed a kilo, by Kimber's theory, you've got a kilo of leg in your stomach.
Yes.
But you now don't have a leg, so you've lost a kilo.
Yes.
Right.
So the kilo you lost from your leg is shifted to your stomach, so you're just shifting weight around.
It's like energy. It's like we never ever lose energy, right? It has to go somewhere in a different form or whatever, but the mass is still always the same.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The energy you take out of the leg goes back into being burnt to eat the leg.
You know what I need to do? I need to get a kilo of meat or something. and eat it. Like, weigh myself beforehand and then eat it and then weigh myself after and see if I weigh an exact kilo afterwards.
Yeah.
And then weigh yourself after you've shifted that kilo.
I mean, my feeling is we either leave this conundrum here or we advance it and get people's recipes for a good leg.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Bit of garlic salt.
Damn straight. Now, obviously, we're well and truly into school holidays now, but I had something that happened to me on the very first day of school holidays that I'm sure parents can relate to, right? So we got off nearly a week before the kids, or Steppy D, my stepdaughter, got on to holidays. And I just sort of hung around home. My wife was finishing a course. There was a bit to do. And I think Steppy D went on holidays on the Thursday, perhaps the Wednesday. And at, I reckon, 6:30 the following morning, my eyes opened because, of course, you know, trying to get a bit of a sleep in. There's Steppy D standing over the top of me. We lock eyes and she goes, I'm bored.
So, dude, 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, on the first day of holidays.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking we're in big trouble here, man. Mm. But, of course, like a lot of parents, you know, we struggle with that sort of guilt about how much screen time, you know, is appropriate. And that just goes out the window on holidays. And the things that spins me out about kids, the watching Steppy D watch something on the iPad is like something out of a calisthenics class. You know, the angles that they into, but never they're like a living Steadicam. They never lose the squareness of the image
of the shot.
No. Right.
So our 3-year-old Isabella was on the couch the other day, and she was lying down, like back down, you know, facing up, and she had the phone up above her and exactly that position that you were just showing off then, and she did not move for a half hour.
No.
It was amazing to watch.
They're going to have huge biceps.
Great arm strength.
You
tell what, they do it until they drop it on their face once. The one time you drop it on your face, then you're like, I don't do this anymore.
Maybe. But look, I knew that we were heading down to Denmark, to our normal holiday spot, and I knew that there would be adventures afoot. So we weren't too worried. And sure enough, had an awesome time down there. Saw dear old Captain Paul.
Oh, great.
And Bella. And they're, of course, they're great. And what I love about that part of the world is that it takes, and what I loved about taking my stepdaughter down there, is that it brings those kind of childhood memories that I remember about being outside and testing yourself and getting a little braver. And yes, maybe some of the activities carry a little bit more risk.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that they have in Denmark is the classic rope swing into the river.
Oh, like Tarzan rope.
Like Tarzan rope. And, you know, there was a big negotiation about how high that, you know, we were going to allow, and eventually it was from the top. But old man decides to do it, right? And why is it that when I decided I was going to get up on this platform and do it, and it was awesome, there was no one around. It was like three kids in front of me and then me, right? And then when it comes to my time to try and climb this slippery, metal, dangerous platform, right, all of a sudden I look behind me, there's a crowd. All waiting to see if the old bloke's going to stack it on the rope, you know, and I clung on for dear life.
Because that's when you suddenly realise, I didn't have no idea that I had no arm strength.
Oh.
Like you think, how long will I hang on this? I wonder how far I'll go. And then you realise as soon as you get on, you can't hold on.
Now did you leap off at the end, or did you just sort of drop off?
No, a bit of both.
Yeah?
I went into full lockdown, full upper body lockdown, and I got out to the furthest pendulum moment, but the release and the landing were not something that one would score highly in the Olympics for. It was
burn and then a bommy.
A badly produced bommy. But hey, memories.
You're kidding me.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
We are back.
All righty.
Little ripper. How are we feeling, everybody? Good?
Good. It's
great.
A clean sheet.
It's a clean sheet, yep. Yeah. Yep.
Love this game. Sheet.
Shall we take a listen quickly to how it ended last year?
Oh, really?
No, absolutely we won't, because we move forward.
Okay, good.
Nobody cares about 2021.
Good, because it didn't end the way anyone had hoped.
What do you mean?
No, it did all right. You won.
It was a really awful last 3 weeks. So let's just move on. Moving forward.
Oh.
Well, I had fun.
Yeah, no. I saw a side of you both that I didn't want to see again.
Oh, I'm afraid you will.
No, you know the rule. Okay, so here's how this game works for those of you joining us fresh for this year for your first ever game of You're Kidding Me. It's Matt v. Kimber, and we play this once a week. And I've got three different montages from three different years. They're made up of all sorts of things. They could be songs, they could be movies, TV shows, moments in time, so on and so forth. I'm going to play them to you guys one by one. You can have a listen. Tell me which year you think they're from. Closest to the pin, best of three gets the point.
I had a thought, and I probably should have brought this up before we started playing.
Probably.
Yeah. How do you feel about this? And I think you'll like this, Kimber, is that we write down our answer and then we have to stick to it.
I don't know if it works on radio.
No. But obviously then we have to go, well, that's the year that I, you know, we obviously say it. But
yeah.
Just so there's not, I was
this is probably something that should have
really
been
should have been. Yes.
The meeting yesterday after the show.
We did, didn't we?
When we said we're going to play You're Kidding Me tomorrow.
Right, okay. Anyway, that's all we have time for, so we'll split the point.
2023, you look out. This is going to be one hell of a game.
Here comes your first one. But if I work all day,
the name's Bean. Mr. Bean.
You'd never have guessed that at 7:30 this morning, Margaret Thatcher gave up the job which she believed to be her destiny.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Just wow.
It's quite a test, isn't it? I think I'm...
Well, I'm in the 80s.
Oh, yeah?
I am.
I think I'm 1990.
Wow.
I don't know if I've gone too late. I know nothing about politics, so I'm clueless on Thatcher.
I'll go 88.
Bicentennial year.
Yeah. Mm. Great. Well, if you're into that sort of thing.
I know I was three.
Yeah.
So you're locking 1990?
I'll go 90.
You're going 90? And you're going 1988.
Mm.
Was 1990.
Oh, wow.
Bang
well
on.
Done.
Yeah,
well done.
Well done. You know, everybody who was born that year got like, didn't they get like a bank account with $50 in it?
Did they?
Pretty sure my brother did.
1988?
Yeah. It was bicentennial year.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I got a really wicked melamine plate
did
that
ya?
I got to draw on, and we still eat from it.
Oh, wow.
And what was the song? There was a song that, there's always a song that comes out for those. I can see it, but I can't remember it, which again, not great for radio.
Well, think about it. let's have the next one.
What did David do? What did David do? David danced.
The Russians pull out of the Olympics. The Americans say it's a blatant political act.
84. I mean, it could be 83, but I'll go 84.
I don't know.
Geez, you came out with that one.
Well, quick. I'll tell you why. Because in 1980 was the Moscow Olympics, and the Americans didn't go there for political reasons. Maybe the Russians in Afghanistan, and as a tit for tat, in 84 at the LA Games, the Russians wouldn't go.
I mean, I guess based on his rationale, I have to say 83.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
yeah. You do.
They're like making their plans. And they could well be
I mean,
right.
What was that middle clip? David danced. I mean, go David.
It's Footloose.
Oh, Footloose.
Was it?
Footloose.
Boom, ba-ding, ba-dong, ba-ding,
which was ba-ding. Kenny Loggins.
Kenny.
Which was released in 1984.
Yeah. Nice one, now, is it true that Kenny Loggins has also done a new track with SZA?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He did release a new album.
Oh, did he?
Well, no, he did it. He did that version of Footloose that wasn't Footloose. Remember with the animals, and he made a book.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago.
God.
All right. Here's the last one.
Twitter launches. Either you tweet, you read tweets, or you have someone that tells you about tweets they read.
Ricky, you can walk. What'd you just say?
He's telling you the truth, man. It's all in your head.
Was that Vin Diesel?
Oh.
That wasn't Vin Diesel.
What? But I don't think we gave an answer for that.
Wow. That was Green Mile.
We did.
Was it?
It was 1984.
It was. Okay,
cool. I think it was Green Mile.
That's
right?
Batman.
Okay.
No, that wasn't. It was Talladega Nights.
Way off. Then.
Okay, that's
the Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Recent, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. 2014.
I'm going to go 2012.
Twitter launched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
2014.
Were you on Twitter straight away, were you?
I was there.
Yeah.
I wasn't. We had our entertainment reporter who was on our show at the time made a fake account for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it still out there somewhere?
No, he ended up giving me the password after about 12 months, but his tweets were way better.
Yeah, it was called The Real Donald Trump.
It was 2006. Kimba, off to a flyer.
2006.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, it took me a really long time to get Twitter. I'm thinking this year I might get Instagram.
Oh, really?
Just toying with the idea.
Look at you. Pete, Matt
and Kimba. Guys, my dog knows too much. Far too much. And it sort of started a few years ago. I moved into a new house and that house was closer to more eateries. And so we decided it'd be great. We can get Uber Eats now. We were like, oh, we can get stuff delivered to the house whenever we want. So in the beginning, what happens is when you order, you get these notifications on your phone to tell you that they're cooking it or it's on its way or they're going to be at your door in 2 seconds. And so this phone like would come up through with this sound all the time. And you'd get that. Now, my dog, it didn't take many deliveries before my dog McGruff started to realize, oh, when I hear that sound, that means A, there's someone coming to the door, and B, they'll have food.
My two favorite things if you're McGruff.
So he's very protective of the house. So when you come nearby, loves a bark. And so when people come to the door, he really likes to show that that's his role. And so he really steps up to it. So after a little while, we decided let's stop getting any food deliveries because our dog knows too much and we just can't handle this behavior ongoing. Right. Because as soon as he heard the first notification, it'd go for another 10 minutes until or 20 minutes until the food arrived.
Literally having a Pavlovian response.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly what was going on. So we stopped doing that. And so when we get takeaway now, we'll order something and my partner, James, will go out and pick it up.
Right.
And that means McGruff gets to go in the car for a drive.
Right.
So if we get out cutlery first and we haven't been doing any preparation food in the kitchen, he knows I'm going on a mission. So he runs to the door and he waits because he knows that any time now, James is going to put him in the car. And I was like, this is insane. Like, this dog is witnessing too many parts of our behavior that just have nothing to do with him. Like, he's just taking on too much. And then on the weekend, we realized we've reached a whole other level because now the last few times I've noticed this, and it only just dawned on me on the weekend that this is what's happening, is because I don't cook. He's so used to me never being in the kitchen that when I'm entertaining, I do love having people over and I'm really up for a big cheese platter. And so I'll put together, get out the big plate and put together the cheese and the crackers and stuff like that. Now McGruff knows if I'm in the kitchen and I get out a big plate, he starts barking for the next 40 minutes, anticipating that people are coming over. And every single time they do turn up. And so now he absolutely knows it's happening and there's no way I can avoid this other than never inviting people over to my house. But talk about being watched 100% of the time. Like,
it's like having an Alexa in your house.
Yeah. Like, and also I feel completely humiliated because I'm like, my dog knows I cook so rarely that if I get out a plate, it means we've got guests coming.
He's not so smart. You can use this to your advantage because dogs sometimes seem to know if they're about to have a bath or go to the vet and not all of them like that. Just get cutlery out. He thinks, yeah, oh, cool. Pete, Matt, and Kimba. Mix 94.5.